It was a moment across many platforms yesterday. It drew millions on television.
All over the world, people are watching on television and in theaters.
The live video streams showed the internet slowed the internet to a crawl. Facebook reported 500,000 status updates during the event. Some reports said it even drew more than the Obama inauguration.
They're updating their Facebook page there.
Just right from their Blackberries, as they sing. And there were, John, there were nearly 20,000 people watching inside the Staples Center itself and thousands more outside around the perimeter, all to say farewell to Michael Jackson.
Dude, we love him. We miss him. And
we'll always miss him.
We'll always miss him. We'll always love him, dude, like, till the end. And even though he's gone, he lives in each and every one of our hearts. And, dude, we'll try to represent him in every way that we can. So we love you, Michael.
Dude, in the end, what we all got to witness...
Sounds like Kobe Bryant there.
However, what we all got to witness, however we watched it, was a farewell fit for a king. And in addition to that, like so much of Michael Jackson's career, a moment that will be defined through images on television.
Very true.
So for a review of the performance and how it looked on TV and what the television images will probably mean for decades to come, Alessandra Stanley, New York Times TV critic. Alessandra, how are you this morning?
Fine. How are you?
I'm very well. What did you make of the television event of Michael Jackson's memorial? Some said too big and gaudy. Some said too small, given his stature.
And then Goldilocks said, you know, I thought it was. I think the reason we're still fascinated this morning is that there was an element of surprise because we didn't know what to expect. And I think if you remember Princess Diana. What was surprising was that the British could be so mawkish and sentimental. We didn't expect it. And so that funeral took on a kind of, how could this happen? In this case, we weren't sure if the Jacksons could actually pull off something that was dignified and appropriate. And the fact that they did gave it an extra kick, if you know what I mean.
One of the things that surprised me, the music didn't surprise me. There were performers you would expect, guitarists and singers like Usher and Mariah Carey, to come out to honor Michael Jackson. Brooke Shields wasn't a surprise. I was surprised.
I was shocked by her.
I
was shocked.
You were shocked by Brooke Shields?
I went, oh, right, Brooke. I mean, I remembered, but it was a shock.
You haven't seen her since Blue Lagoon, because you don't watch sitcoms, John. That's fine. Well, one thing that did surprise me was that some of this took on a political dimension. I want to play you a cut from Al Sharpton, who gave a stirring speech. Let's listen to something that Al Sharpton had to say.
I want his three children to know, wasn't nothing strange about your daddy. It was strange what your daddy had to deal with.
Alessandra Stanley, not the political dimension there, but Al Sharpton talking directly to Michael Jackson's kids.
You know, I think that is, I have to say, as much Al Sharpton, who gives the best funeral speech of anyone in the world.
He does, doesn't he?
Was speaking to the children, he was speaking to anyone who, and to the media, you know, which was a perfect moment to sort of recapture Michael Jackson's reputation and say, hey, it wasn't him, it was them, you know. So the fact that he addressed the children made it all the more of a kind of memorable moment.
And what was, without disrespecting the memory of Michael Jackson, wasn't that a bit of a weird moment to hear Al Sharpton on the podium saying there was nothing weird about your daddy? I mean,
if I was at a funeral and I was 11 years old and I heard that, I would go, man, my dad must have been pretty strange if he brings this up
here. Well, I think by the time you've been hung from a balcony in Germany, I think you've gotten used to that notion. So I don't think there would be anything quite that surprising.
Yeah.
But I take your point.
All right, Alessandra Levy from The Times. While we're on it, let's go back to the political dimension real quick. And while we're on Al Sharpton, let's listen to this cut from him, because I want you to react to this too.
He created a comfort level where people that felt they were separate became interconnected with his music. And it was that comfort level that kids from Japan and Ghana and France and Iowa and Pennsylvania, those young kids grew up from being teenage, comfortable fans of Michael to being 40 years old and being comfortable to vote for a person of color to be the president of the United States of America.
All right, Alessandra, Al Sharpton taking it from a pop musician to a cultural and political bridge builder.
Well, I think he's overstating the political appeal of him internationally. I think kids in Japan or Afghanistan or whatever loved his music. But I don't think they saw him as, oh, a black kid from Indiana who made good. I think they saw him as what he was, which is an unbelievably talented musician. But I see the temptation of, because I think for Americans especially, you know, his trajectory was an inspiring one for kids.
All right, Alessandra Stanley, you're the TV critic of the New York Times, and this next thing I'm going to play for you really struck me as just a quintessential TV moment. Listen to this from Michael Jackson's daughter.
Ever since I was born, Daddy has been the best father you could ever imagine. And I just wanted to say I love him so much.
It, for me, it was the most moving part of the entire thing, and it reminded me of John, little John Kennedy, saluting his father in 1963.
Well, I'm going to be a little bit contrarian. I thought the child was heartbreaking. It made me question once again the Jackson family. You know, this is, you know, the putting children up front and center is what got them into trouble in the first place. And Michael Jackson spent his life as an adult, as a parent, keeping these kids away from the public stage. So, you know, you can see it both ways. It was an, you know, the adorable child, touching moment, and probably something her father would not have wanted.
Yeah, I that was my impression.
All right. Well, Alessandra, all this hour we're asking listeners when they were. When they got over.
When they got it. When they said goodbye.
When they said, that's right. When they said goodbye to Michael Jackson.
Was totally it, yesterday for me.
Is yesterday for John? Was it before he went for some?
I'll never say goodbye. What are you saying?
Well, for me, it's all about the music. So I told John this morning, I never did say goodbye and probably never will, because it was just about the music for me, and that music's not going anywhere. And let me point out that we do want to hear from listeners. We want to hear from you all, 8778 my take at the takeaway.org. Tell us when you said goodbye to Michael, today, yesterday, 10 years ago, or maybe never. We want to know when that moment was. Alessandra Stanley is television critic for the New York Times, and we appreciate you joining us to talk about Michael Jackson and television. We want to give Michael the last word.
You can't get out of the game.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.